And your Testament Aleph were toward the bottom, or up to the two dots, four lines from the bottom on your Testament Aleph. It says, there's two colons. It says, Kavru es hames b'chazru, which is going back on our Mishnah that said that in the event that there is the Kvura, and you haven't yet said the Shema, and the question is, do you have enough time to be able to say the Shema? If you do have enough time, then you should say it before the people who are in the Avelis come back, and if not, then you shouldn't.
Which people?
People who are at the cemetery.
Just the people at the cemetery. So you say this is in the morning then?
Yeah, right.
Why are the people who were there didn't they done before?
It was... it happened to be, it was done during the time of davening, which is not the ideal situation, but...
I'm just saying that they don't have an excuse for it.
They had no choice,
I think the discussion we had last week is that you have to make the supposition that at that given cultural time, as soon as they would finish the Torah, they would do the burial. No matter what. Okay, so if it coincided with the Shema,
wet times, they buried around the clock too? In those days? No. I mean,
can you bury a person at night?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
This is my reason for this. It's a thing that you should be like in Eretz Israel.
But that's what they do. But
they bury on the clock. I'm saying in those times.
Yeah. It could be what they did.
No.
So they didn't wait a second, regardless.
When it was time for the Kavura,
they went.
That's the only way you can explain what all this discussion is about.
Right. So therefore, the Mishnah said that you should say the Shema if you can, but if you don't have enough time, the Mishnah says like this: Im yichon lahaskil v'ligmor ad shel yigiu l'shura yaschilu. So you're waiting in this the shura, and the person who is in avelus is coming from the Kfaris forest. So if you have enough time, say it. If not, not. Okay. So, which implies that if you have enough time, sounds like you have enough time to say the entire three paragraphs, the entire Shema. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says that's not the case at all. Im yicholim, 4 lines in the bottom, New Testament Aleph. Im yicholim lahaskiv ligmor es kula. If you're able to complete the entire thing, yes. Alaperik echad, opasik echad, lo. That's what it sounds like. That even if you can maybe finish one pasuk, you can finish even a whole paragraph, that's not enough. You have to weigh whether or not you can say the whole thing. And that's it. It's all or nothing. Ramin will ask you a question. Says elsewhere, Kavuras Ameis, who did the Kavura of a Chazru, and he's coming back. So, Im Yechol Nahaskib Ligmor, Afilu Perek Echad, O Pasuk Echad, then you should do it. So the question is,
why couldn't you do it before?
Well, that was the whole question that we said. If you could, you should have. But if you got caught at that time, and you're going to miss Zman Kriyas Shema, using your imagination how this could have occurred, unless there's a very long kvura, it took a long time for you to bring the mace to the cemetery.
And
it was morning, and now this is your only chance, so still...
Because here you have no other choice.
You have no other choice, right.
Before you had a choice, hopefully you finish in time, you'd be able to say the whole thing the way you're supposed to say it. But here...
this was already at the last minute.
Right, this is the last minute. You had no choice. Before you had a choice. Hopefully you finished, then some rabbi got up and gave a long essay. What could I tell you?
Could be. That could be the situation as well. Yeah. So, therefore, because of this, the Gemara answers, Hachanami Kamar. And Hachanami, it's not disagreeing with the statement above. Im yichon lahaskil ligmar afil perek echad or afil pasuk echad. He's saying that not that you have to say the whole thing, but if you have the opportunity to say all three paragraphs, then do so. But if you don't, the Mishnah is implying that if you don't have enough time to say the whole thing, doesn't mean to say nothing. At least Chaparayim say one.
Wait. Now they're saying the talking about the Shura. The Shura is after the Kura.
Right.
So you're saying that the Shura is more important than the Shema?
No, but you're.
That's what's in front of you.
Is, and you're also using your head.
No, because now you're saying a few here, paragraph, but which is more important, Shema the Shura? I can understand Kavuras Ameis.
Yeah, but you the Shura. How long can it take you to count the Shura? The Shura's right there.
But the Gemara is bringing up the thing about the Shura. Ad Shelo Yagil the Shura, implying that you got to stop it. You can't say it then because the Shura is more important than the Shema. The way the Gemara, the Lashon of the Gemara is.
Yeah, I mean, up until this point, you've been Osik B'Mitzvah.
Right.
So you don't have, you've been pucked from saying
fine, Shema. But now is the Shura, the Mitzvah of Shura, more important than...
I mean, I'll say something better. What happens if I'm starting to go to the Shura and I get to the Shura? I can't keep saying the Shema is the Avelim Gavaya.
That's what I'm trying to say. Shouldn't the Shema be more important than the Shura? I can say the Kavura, as we've been told by... Yes.
Is there a level of obsession?
In what?
You're the Shura. At that point, you're supposed to be... what's the word? Menachem Yachud, right? So you have to say certain words.
Right.
So you're producing Hatzah.
Yes.
Why they bring up that, the point of the shul? Why couldn't it be?
Yeah.
They left the bottom down. They covered it.
Okay.
Then, I can understand you're not going to say it. You're Isaac the mitzvah before the klura.
But the klura is done.
Whether shura, no shura, I can stand by the shura.
Exactly. When is the shura so important? You know, I mean, the shura is just the Menachem Avil. Menachem Avil is more important than. Then Shema. That's the key.
I don't know if it matters what's more important. If you have one mitzvah, then you're involved in a mitzvah. You don't have to do
the
other mitzvah.
Shema is the Raisa. Shura is the
Raisa. Can I do the Shura? Can I be Menachem Avil 5 minutes later?
But the Shura, it's a mitzvah there.
Hold up the Shura. Say, okay, sure, we got to say Shema because the time is fleeting. Let us finish that and we'll say the Shura. What's the point
here? For a couple of brios, you know, you have this person that's grieving, so you're allowed to stop him.
I don't think you really understand what the whole halacha of this is about. In terms of.
Yeah.
First of all, right. you're doing the tower, you're doing the quarter, you're doing the Shura. I mean, there has to be some levels of significance in each aspect of it.
The point thing here is they say Kibru HaMeis.
Good.
They buried the mess. That's it.
So you're making an assumption that the Kvura is the essence, and then once that's done, then everything else goes to the wayside.
Because you have nothing. There's no covered HaMeis if these are buried. Once you covered the mess, there's no more covered HaMeis.
I'm not sure about that. Maybe you would consider the whole thing one area.
That's exactly it.
There are aspects of it with the right
We're
relating this all this to our time.
No question. I don't know the other times.
The question is, what was the scenario at the other time?
What could be the scenario? Everything you're saying up to Kibra HaMeis, I'll go along with you. That they would take him to a chapel, you did the Kedusha, you went right to the cemetery, even if there was no Espedin, who knows if there were Rabbanim there making Espedin there in those days, but once you've kept, you buried the mess.
They have a mitzvah, and now Shema should be more important than the Shura. The Shura could wait. See, the thing is, Shema can't wait. The Shura could wait. There's a difference. You know, if you have a choice of a Zman thing as opposed to, you know, a not a Zman thing, here, how does a normal mitzvah cessation as Zman Groma go into consideration? What's more important? Is that the biggest ikkar?
We're not going to, but I understand, but how could you ask this person to stop? To stop and to say the Shema, I think what's being said is not even a lack of respect to the person who's in veil. That's also a lack. Is a lack of covenant mace. Because if you're saying, don't worry, you know, it's not so important the fact that this person was just buried. We don't care about that person. We'll say the Shema.
You say it's important, but you're talking from a time element. The Shema has a time. As soon as the sun rises, you can't say the Shema anymore. That mitzvah is dead. But the Shura can be, and also you have more time to spend time with the Nicham Avelim. Okay, I got the Shema in my head, it's on my head, and now I'm not going to say it. I can't spend the time. I got out of the way.
But we're not talking about going to be Menachem Avo. We're talking about the Shura, which is at that particular time, if you run away and you're not there, it's over.
You're not running away. You're stopping right there. Here's the shura. Say, excuse me 1 minute. Let me say shema, because the time is over.
Why do we look at the why do we look at the word?
It could be Zion Lameid, even just to rush it to end what you're doing.
It's not Zion Lameid.
Once you buried everything, it's not Zion
Lameid. You're interrupting part of the tekes, you know?
No. The mess, you have to do things that he cannot do, and when you cut, when once you've buried him, then you're putter from what you were not putter before you covered the grave.
I have a question.
Question.
Even more important question. If the child of this nifter, after the kibbutz, he's no longer an onion.
That was my question.
And now he's also now chayav in Kriyat Shema.
Maybe that's what they're talking about.
So the question now is...
Maybe they're talking about him.
Is he chayav to do the Kriyat Shema?
Right, because he's no longer... As soon as they bury the body,
maybe,
he's no longer
maybe they're speaking chayav. About here the, the what he called it himself.
It's not so much
from
that.
It's not
mashma, but if I want to look at that,
that was my next question. I thought about that also, and you were talking about it.
That's right.
Aninus is over as soon as you bury the body, right? Before the shura.
Right.
Right.
That's
so now he's a chayiv. They eat the body. Yeah. Right.
The I mean, the lashon of the Gemara is that if you're able to say it up until the point of the shura.
What
does you say? It sounds like the person himself is.
Why are they going to that word?
Yeah, and
why did they say? Why did they say? Yeah. I mean, they use the word of chodzru.
Right.
Kibra tameis. If I bury the person, then I know I'm chayav to say shema. What is this v'chodzru business? V'chodzru means I left there. V'chodzru ma. What's the chodzru?
Okay. The way I look at it.
Yes.
They did Tara in the person's home.
Good.
They walked 2 miles to the cemetery.
They buried the man.
Then they walked back to the house to sit Shiva. There was a Shura as he was entering into the house.
You're really interpreting something here. You're going far. The Chazrul Abayis, and that already is I think, wet. Because if it's so important, you got to stop. He's saying the chazrul such a. Where do you make the shura? You wait till he gets to the house. He do it right at the cemetery.
I don't know.
I can't argue because I don't know. I'm only thinking of now.
I don't know the customs of what happened. Yet.
All right. Okay.
But there's a machlokas on it. That's basically you have the Torah and the Rashba. They say two different things about if you start before you hit the shura, then you should continue. The Rashba and. And Rav Yitzchak Abuhav say, and the Beis Yosef say that you should be able to continue when the Torah says no, you can't.
Because it's an issue of Kavana, it says, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's so another way of looking at it.
Right. That's what we're, you know, kind of, it's the Indian.
And the question also comes out, let's say you just did the Kura, the mace is buried, you're still in the cemetery. Is it the Loi Barash, the Daven of the cemetery?
It sounds like it's talking about that you are far away from the kfura. That's what it sounds like. Alright. Okay. So let's move on to the next piece of Gemara. So then the Mishnah says Omdim Bishura. So it said toward the end of the Mishnah in the Yitzayimid Beis that this is what the Mishnah says Ha'omdim Bishura. So if you're standing in this row being about to be Menachem Avel, so it depends where you're situated. If Ha'pneimim Peturim v'achitzoinim chayavim. That's what the Mishnah says, which means those who are in the pnimim. It sounds like the people that are being menachem.
Right, the mourners, the krovim, the seva krovim, sheva krovim.
It's referring to the people that are in the line.
The people in the lines.
People make the lines.
Yes.
Those who make the shuras.
Right.
But they have a row of two or three people.
Right.
But the first line makes the shura.
The panim.
And then they have panim right in the front.
You have two levels. You have two lines.
Right.
Panim in the front guys.
Right. You have the guys. Back, in the back.
Three levels in the back. So guys in the back can't say Shema. The panim can.
Right. The ones in the front can?
The one closest to the...
Availim?
Availim. Cannot.
Cannot.
That's what the Mishnah says.
Okay.
All right. Now the Gemara holds that it's not so clear. Tan Rabbanan, Shuram Haroa Pnima Petura V'Sheinu Roa Pnima Chayevus. Unlike what the Mishnah says, it's not only that you are in the inside, but if you can even see the Pnima, right? You can see the opening, then that would already be sufficient, and that's how Rashi it reads. Haroa panimas chlal hekev achrei shur hapanimas avel yoshev shum. So you can see the person who's the actual person who's in a veil. So it's not that you have to dafka be in the middle or the center.
Meaning, if you have a bunch of 5'5" guys in the front row and a bunch of 6'10" in the back, that they can see them.
That's
they
right.
Would be chayev because they can see. They're putter because they have actual view of the mortars.
Right. So the question, it doesn't really explain why that's the case, but obviously you're more part of the shura.
If you have a connection to the mourners, a visual connection.
Right, but if it's such so far away that you can't even see what's going on, basically, then you're chayev, because you're not really even so much part of the shura. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, no, you would still be putter in that situation. Haboyim machmas avel peturin. Machmas atzmon chayavin. The person is going to go to this place for them to be menachem avel, even if they can't see because there's tens of thousands of people. Doesn't make a difference since you're there for that purpose. Then you're going to be potter. However, it was machmas atzmon, and Rashi says, what's machmas atzmon? You have nothing better to do.
People have curiosity. People went to see funerals.
So Rashi says, "Lo machmas kavod." He didn't go for kavod meis. Shulbo lenachem, not to be menachem the avel. Ella liros es hamayru. We want to see what's going on.
Like the paparazzi came to take pictures. Who's at this funeral?
Right. So that person, you would be chai because you're not really.
You're not always taking.
Right. Okay. That's the end of that.
So therefore, we're saying that this shura is part and parcel of. You are in the midst of doing a mitzvah. And that's the reason why you're putter from Shema at that time, because you're osek b'mitzvah.
Right. According to the second opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that you're osek mitzvah. The first opinion sounds like even if you went machmas ha'avel, but if you're so far away, it's almost like you're not really osek b'mitzvah. Because you're not needed. You're so disconnected.
So is there a priority in terms of mitzvahs?
Mr. Shazman?
That's the question. So Shema is mitzvah.
I would almost think that the question of being able to see might be almost bi-directional. You know, that if the mourner is looking at you in the face, and he can say, look at this, he's standing here, he came to the Levaya, poor old Chaim Yankel, just nifter, and he's the way he said, then they're davening. But if he can't see you and you can do it discreetly, then you can do it.
So it shows.
It's kavod avesin and hamesin. It's also not to be mitzayah the avelim.
Okay.
Is there a mitzvah specifically for this? Menachem and Avel.
Is there a mitzvah to Menachem and Avel?
It's not a
It's, no.
Menachem Avel is not
no, entire mitzvah. No, it's not. But it falls under the geder of Yehapta Rechmocha.
All right. And
Chesed. It certainly falls under.
So has anybody then asked the question, mitzvah d'oraisa versus mitzvah d'rabbanan, okay, which takes precedence? And... Or do we have another situation where you have mitzvah d'rabbanan that is interfering with mitzvah d'oraisa,
And is that then doche that or not?
So there's a Gemara in Sukkah which talks about two situations, which asks this question. So we alluded to it a little bit. For example, a person who is a chassan, right? So you're getting married.
Right, if he could say Shema, or if he's a kliya, or not kliya.
He's potter. The Mishnah says he's potter.
Except what Rabbi Shmuel says, he could.
If you could, if you want to.
You could, you can.
Right, if you're able to have kavanah.
Right, kavanah.
So that's one idea. We see a person who's osik in a mitzvah, such a mitzvah, you're a putter from the Shema. We also find that, we're going to see this also down here, in a very interesting Gemara coming up, with regard to a mace mitzvah. You have a carbon Pesach, you're about to bring the carbon Pesach, and you see a mace mitzvah. So the question is, what do I do? On one hand, I'm about to bring this animal as a carbon Pesach, and if I'm Tomei, if I become Tomei,
can't bring it.
I won't be able to bring it. So the question is, what am I supposed to do?
You do a mace mitzvah.
So the halacha is we do a mace mitzvah. So
you do a Pesach Sheni.
That's right. Well, that's correct. Right. So you're allowed to.
But you have an out.
Well, for that.
And that lasts
until you've
got an out. Okay? Here the question now is, you have no out. Unless you're going to go ahead and give the cover of the mace at this given point, it's not going to happen again.
Okay.
So now the question we really have now is, what is the sequence in halacha? Doraisa, Darabanan, superseding Zman, that the Zman will be passing on. Do we have any sequence or schedule of this is what must be done, priority, or is it gut feeling? Or is it, most of halacha is not associated with gut. It shouldn't be, right?
Yes.
So what I'm getting here is that I'm getting gut, I'm not getting...
Why? What are we
getting? You're saying is that the mace mitzvah because of bizui ha-mace, or bizui ha...
It's a mitzvah. You're osik in a mitzvah, though.
You're osik in the mitzvah of what? Menachem Avol.
Okay.
But that's an extension of the Kvura.
Okay.
Okay. If another mitzvah can be or will be superseded by that, is that can a Rabbanan mitzvah supersede a Doraisa mitzvah?
In other words, you're saying that this is not necessarily a Rabbanan mitzvah.
I don't know.
It's not even a Rabbanan mitzvah.
But yeah, we are going to see in the next Gemara in Halacha the difference between the Rabbanan and the Reis, and sometimes one mitzvah can push off the other. Right? We do have certain concepts like you have a mitzvah saseh, can be bidocha a lo saseh. Right, so we do have
right.
Some.
We have some.
Yeah.
Do we have anything related to this?
The next piece of Gemara is going to talk about seemingly related to the idea of kavod habrios, whether or not for kavod habrios to show respect for a person, are we allowed to push off a mitzvah, or should we do a mitzvah and disregard kavod habrios? And part of kavod habrios we're going to see have to do with certain mitzvahs. So we're going to see a little bit how this is connected one to the next. We'll touch upon it. This next piece of Gemara goes all the way down. But I just want to see a couple of lines, and then we'll get into a little bit more into the halakhic aspect of this next piece.
There's something else here that's underlying, and maybe tacit here, but it's very important.
Yeah.
And that is there's certainly an inyan not to upset and hurt the feelings of another person, hurt the feelings of another Jew particularly. We just, only a few weeks ago, learned in Navi class what happened to Pnina, because she hurt Hannah's feelings,
right.
All with the best of intentions, but there are certain roads that are paved with good intentions. Her intentions were good, but she hurt her feelings, and so she was subject to a lot of punishment. I don't know if that ties to a deraisa or a derabanan, but it certainly is an important principle. And you can imagine how somebody who's an avel, who's standing there and whose mind is on nothing but their beloved person who just passed away and was just buried, and all of a sudden he sees somebody standing there at the cemetery, and all of a sudden he's on the top.
Right.
Now, there's got to be an Indian there with that, and I think that has to be taken into account. When we were talking about Kavod HaBriyah, we might be getting into it.
Maybe, yeah. It's something to think about. But the question is that, was that going to go supersede a mitzvah? Feelings. So that's what you're alluding to.
That's how you do it. If you can step away where they don't notice you and do it discreetly, that's one thing. But if you can't, that's right. The same. That's the Indian, I think, here with being in the first shura or being in the second shura where they can't see you.
Right. Okay. It could be. Okay, let's see this next piece of Gemara, just the first few lines, and we'll discuss it. A very fascinating question that Gemara poses. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav, Amotzi Kilayim Bebigdo. Let's say a person goes out and they're wearing Kilayim. So they have a mixture of wool and linen, and they're wearing shatnas in their clothes. So the Gemara says that poshtun, you have to remove your clothes. Afil b'shuk, even if you're in the middle of Times Square, you have to take. And let's say that's in those days they only wore one thing, so take that thing off. So because after all you're wearing shatnas, so you have to take it off. So the Gemara says, my time. Why would you say that you're required to do that? After all, the pasuk says in Mishlei, in Chochma, v'ein Tfuna, v'ein Eitzel Neged Hashem. So that's what the Gemara answers. That in Chochma there's no knowledge, wisdom, or Tfuna, Bina, understanding, knowledge, wisdom. In Eitzel there's no advice opposite Hashem. Which means, any situation, Sheshchil Hashem, in Cholkin Kavod L'Rav. So the Gemara says, if there's a Chil Hashem involved over here, then the halach is that you have to do whatever it takes to make sure that chil Hashem doesn't occur. Derobing in public is going to be embarrassing. It's going to be I'll be humiliated. Nonetheless, you have to do so because we don't. As much as kavod rav is important, and the Gemara is going to discuss how far and how many mitzvos will overlook, or kavod brios and kavod rav will. Be more important when it comes to shatnez, which is a deraisa. We're going to distinguish between deraisa and derabanan. Now, when it comes to a deraisa, you have to make sure not to violate the mitzvah deraisa. So that's what's derived from over here. Now, it's interesting, this idea, it says that it's a chil Hashem.
Chil Hashem. How did you find out that he's wearing shatnez all of a sudden? You didn't take it to the rail.
He, at this moment, realized that he's wearing a shatnez. Why would it matter?
No, I mean, it's a somewhat way out example to bring
right.
A subject matter, you know, to try to prove a point. We're taking something that's like, we can get another example of this without getting to this, using this.
But it's an extreme example, though. It shows how, as much as we would think, you have to show kavod habrios, nonetheless, you have to preserve and adhere to the mitzvahs. That's more important.
And derobing and being naked in public is, what is that?
Erev.
Is that erev? I mean, is there something that's wrong also, no?
That's what it sounds like. It's wrong. In fact, you would maybe think, and this is what the Notabi Yehuda asked the question, says, it's not mashma from here that anyone else sees that you're wearing shatnez.
Right.
No one else knows. You're the only one that realizes that you're wearing shatnez. So you would think, so no one knows. But he says, the idea, the Indian of Chil Hashem, is the Etzim Hadavar, Sh'adam Over Avera, the fact that you just do an avera, even if it's in private, that itself is a chil Hashem. Chil Hashem doesn't mean necessarily it's overused, okay. That right. It means, you know, don't do it, you're going to create a Chil Hashem. In fact, maybe you would think, taking off your clothes in the Shuk, that creates the Chil Hashem. But a Chil Hashem is doing an Aveira. That's how the Navi Yehuda defines what a Chil Hashem really is. So if you're doing the Aveira, it doesn't make a difference what you're... If everyone knows about it, or even if no one knows about it, that's still a Chil Hashem. That's how you define it.
If there is a member of the opposite sex, there was an Eva, and you're over...
I guess that would be... Right. Well, that... It would probably be referring to that it's... You're not, you know, completely left with nothing on. It's hopefully something, yeah. So, and that's... And this whole... theory, this whole thesis, if you will, which the Navi Yehuda brings down, he supports this because we're going to see later on, we ask a question from a pasuk. We're not going to see it today, but the Gemara brings down, the pasuk says, v'hisalamta mehen, with regard to Shevus Avedim. You find an object, you're supposed to return it. But it says, v'hisalamta mehen, which the Gemara derives that there's sometimes that you're allowed to close your eyes from it. In other words, you see an object, and you're supposed to pick it up and give it to the person.
Right.
However, Salamtim Yehem, the Gemara derives that there's sometimes you do not have to pick it up. And when do you not have to pick it up? So one example is, let's say you're a Kohen and the object is in a basic forest, it's in a cemetery, fine. But the other example that is brought down is a Zakin V'enul Fi Kvodo. Then you're a Zakin, you're a big Talmud Chacham, you're a great Tzaddik. And for you to pick up this object and use your imagination what this thing is, and for people to see you walking around the street with this object, it would be embarrassing. And it would be a humiliation of some sort.
But Hashem's Aveda is not... So, I mean, so here what you really...
And then you're allowed to do... You don't have to pick it up. You don't...
So all I'm hearing from that...
Yeah.
Is that Kavod Harav...
Right.
Is more important than a Shevus Aveda.
We're going to use that as a question on what the example that we gave about the Shatnas, right? Because if we do find that Kavod Abrios is more important and overrides mitzvos, like Shevus Aveda, so therefore why would we require this guy to take off the Shatnas? That's what the Gemara
is
going to ask.
This thing is not Kavod Abrios, this is specifically Kavod Harav. A regular person, you wouldn't have a problem with. This would have to be a Talmud Chacham or somebody that would be frowned upon that he would do it.
Right.
So you're really dealing with two different entities here.
Well, the example, let's say going back to the case of the Kohen and the basic Pharos.
That's different.
Okay.
There's Tumma and everything else involved with that. That's one different element.
So he brings out from here, this is a proof that a Chil Hashem has nothing to do with whether or not people see. Because the Kohen that walks by a cemetery, it's possible that that lost object, which is in the cemetery, there's not a single person that's around. So for him to go and to take this object, no one's going to know that he made himself Tameh. So, but nonetheless, we learn from here that he does not have to take that object.
Okay.
So what does that show? It shows that the concept of the whole point of Chil Hashem is not necessarily connected to... Right, it's a personal concept. And that's how he learns this idea of what a Chil Hashem is. Now, since we're on this discussion, it's interesting that not everyone reads the Gemara that we read, Hamotzi Kilayim, the Bigda, that the shatness was on your clothing. Well, how else could it be read? So, let me hand out our first sheets. The Rambam holds differently than the way the language of our Gemara. We're on a Halacha Klaf Tes. The question is as follows. Okay, so the Gemara we saw requires that if you are wearing shatnez, you have to take them off. What happens if you're not the one wearing the shatnez?
Your friend
is. Now your friend's walking in the shuk, and he has no idea, and he'll never know. That's why you're asking the question, how did you find out? So the question is,
how
if
does
I
he know?
I'm an expert. I'm a shotness checker. And that jacket that you're wearing, I know, always has shotness.
That shotting jacket has shotness.
So the question is, do I have to tell you to take off this garment? Should you take off the garment?
Maybe you didn't know that you already shotness checked and I took down the stuff that was
meant. Well, that's, if so, true.
Show me a label.
So this is the question. So according to the way of the Rush, and which is the simple reading of our Gemara, it's only Hamotzi Kilayim Bevigdo. When it's in your clothes, right, when it's in your clothes, then you take it off. But if you see someone else that will never know, you do not have an obligation to tell him to take it off in the shuk. Of course, once he's in private, you can tell him or call him when he gets home not to wear it the next day. But to require him to take it off in the marketplace, that's not required. The Rambam does not hold like that. If you look at Halacha Chav Tes, the Rambam says as follows. Haroa Kilayim, which is in the center. So you see Kilayim Shel Torah, which is a shatnez min haTorah, Al Chavera. You're not even wearing it. Your friend is. Afil Hoy Mahalich B'Shuk, and your friend's walking out in the middle of the street. So the Halacha, according to the Rambam, is because it's low, the Koral of Miyad, that you should be torn right off of him. The Filu Hoya Rabbo Shalamdu Chachma, happens to be your Rebbe, is the one walking out in the middle of the street, you should have this garment removed. It's not just you wearing it, it's even the garment that is on him. Shein Kovet Habrios Docha Iser Lo Sasei HaMeforish B'Torah. This may, according to the Rambam, answer some of our questions. That is important. Covenant of Brios is, it's not going to push off an Isser Lo Sasei, which the Torah says explicitly. And again, the Gemara talks at length that they're going to, Durabanan, amidst the Durabanan, we push off. That we're very lenient. We're more lenient. For Covenant of Brios will not require a mitzvah derabanan. Mitzvah derayis of the Rambam, which the Gemara talks about and tries to disprove, that you're not allowed to break a Torah law in order to, even for covenant brios. And that's what the next part of the Rambam, which we'll hold on to because it's going to be a little confusing, brings the other sources of our Gemara, which we're not going to see. But if you look over on the right side, in the Ritvaz, which is on the right side by Chav Tes, he says as follows. Haroi Kalayim Shel Torah, which is quoting the Rambam, Perish, Misha Meso, which is the parak that we're learning, remember the Rabbi Yehuda, with regards to the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, which is at the very beginning of our Gemara that we just read, Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam, Gores Hamotzi Kalayim Poshta, Nafil B'Shuk. He feels, the Rambam does, that the correct reading of our Gemara is that you find Kilayim, you have to remove it even if it's in the Shuk. The Lo Garis, and he does not, the Rambam does not, have the Girsa of our Gemara of Hamotzi Kilayim Bevigdo. Right? That's not how the Rambam reads it, which is, actually that word is found in our Gemara. Bevigdo implies only if it's in your clothes, but the Rambam removes that word from his reading of the Gemara. Therefore, the way it's being read, it's not going on your clothes, but it's talking about any person's. That's how the Rambam holds. That even if you see someone else doing this, you have to have it removed. Masha Omar, Karo, and that which he says to rip it off, why would he use such a language to tear it off, right? So the reason, which we're going to see much later, an interesting Gemara, which a lot of people have problems with, but the Gemara in Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, which we'll see soon, brings an example of how people were Moser Nefesh, a Kedushas Hashem, that they would do everything in their power to be Moser Nefesh, and to always make sure to create a Kiddush Hashem. And the Gemara over there, which he quotes here, is as follows. He says, "Mahi uvda." There was a story in the Rav Ada Bar Ahava Chazil Hach Issa. He saw this woman. Dahavi Lovsha Kervalta B'Shuka. She was wearing this garment in the marketplace, and it was something which was not modest. It was an immodest garment. that apparently they would wear underneath it modest garb, but over it was this robe of some sort, which was immodest. So what did he do? So he got up, and kara mine, and he ripped it off of her. And the Gemara discusses this, and assuming he ripped it off, and hopefully there was obviously something underneath which was more modest. That's the only way you can understand the Gemara. And the Gemara says that he was charged 400 zuz. He had a penalty of 400 zuz. That's what he had to pay. So the Gemara, this is what's derived over here. Mistabra, the ein rishoy l'karvet. Mashma, you're really not supposed to rip it off. Imhu wrote to l'poshtov. He wants to remove it, which implies the reason why he was punished for having ripped off this garment is because he shouldn't have done so. He should have told her to please remove it, and that's the proper way of doing so. Mashikosav yafil hayu rabbo, and the reason why the Rambam says even if it's your rebbe, lomad kain midamasayim ba, the fact that the pasuk says in chachma vein tfuna vein etzel neged Hashem kol makom sheish chil Hashem. This is our Gemara. Anytime it's a chil Hashem in Chokin Kabul Durav. And therefore, that's the reason why he gave the example. Even if you find your Rebbe walking around in the street, nonetheless, you have to remove the garment from of Shatnas from him. The Poskim Achronim Chokin Al Rebbeinu Bedin Zed. There are those who disagree with this opinion. And he says you should be ma'ayin in their words that, in fact, they disagree with this, that it's not referring to that you rip the garment off the person, but it's only if you yourself have the shatnez, then you take it off. But to tell someone else to take it off, no.
You have two yanim here. Number one, hochiach tachit lezemisecha. You also have the inyan of malbim pecha v'rav. So if you're going to go and rip off the inyan in the shuk in front of everybody else, they're going to see what's going on. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, but there's a mitzvah.
But which is worse?
So the mitzvah is I'm responsible for my neighbor?
But I mean, is it worse to embarrass somebody in public?
According to the Rambam, apparently feels.
We talk about Enel Chel, we're learning the whole thing. Enel Chel, you know, the whole Indian, if your Mabim Rech Avera, how serious a crime that is the crime of bringing shotness more important than embarrassment of thing? I mean, there's no Indian of shotness here.
You're asking the same question. What is the sequence of
which is
the
more
importance
important,
the
severity of,
yeah.
of which is more important? Exactly.
What
the chicken or the egg? Which
what are
first?
Your priorities? What, you know, we don't have any sequencing.
Exactly.
Look, let's go back to something else, Jonathan.
Yeah.
The basic mitzvah of Torah is you should not wear strapless.
Right.
Explain to me clearly where I have the obligation to rip off your jacket. The mitzvah is upon me that I should wear it.
Because you're a raven of Zelazet.
No, Ochir says Ochir Tochir Chesavisech. You're supposed to admonish your friend that he's doing something wrong. Right?
You admonish, you're going over and ripping off.
No, there's a difference. No, admonishing is one thing, but what I'm doing is, where's the Torah obligating me under that mitzvah? You shall not wear shatnas. You shall not wear shatnas. Doesn't say to me I should walk around to his jacket and your sweater and his sweater and hey, shatnez, rip it off him.
We know we're told to do it in sneers, to do it in private, to do it in a way that's not going to embarrass.
Let's go to the first part of it though. Forget getting to that. Where is it my business from the basic the Araisa Dika thing to go to check what you are wearing before we get to rip it off? Where it says, it doesn't say, I can't use it. I'm trying to think of something which obligates me to do something in the Torah for you, that I have to do something for you.
Right. But even if we have this example of our Boshlim Do Torah, and we just said
go
that
to the fundamental foundation.
Take it off. No. His rub might say, no, it's not shot.
No, forget the rub. I'm going back to the basic halacha, to the basic, what do you call it, commandment of you shall, it doesn't say, take your neighbor's shot. It says, you, what you're wearing. I don't have an obligation. Do I have an obligation that says, lo sabashev d'ibachalei limov. I see you cooking meat now. Do I have to go and take the pot and turn it over and then do everything? Do I? I see you cooking.
No, you should be saying that don't eat that.
But it doesn't say take it and spill it over that you shouldn't eat it.
Right.
So I'm saying the same thing here. That's a halacha. Specifically says, you shall not go and what do you call it? And do shatnas. Where is the obligation deraisa for me to rip it off you?
And obviously, that's the reason why he concludes and says there are many poskim that have a lot of trouble with this, because, and that's the whole tension of, is there a requirement to do so? That's why many of the
Achronim
hold no, you don't have to.
But look at, but you see, interesting the comparison though that Gemara brings out here of a lost item.
Right.
See, a lost item is something you don't have control of. You're not obvious to yourself. I lost something. He doesn't know he lost it. What does a lost item mean? You don't know that it's there.
Right.
If I see it, you have an obligation to do it because you are totally unaware of it. I don't have to go, you know, if maybe the guy knew it, and if he walked away from it, it would be hefka. If he knew it's not a lost item, then if he knows it's there.
Right.
So there, you have an obligation. But here, there shouldn't be any obligation.
I mean, I have a bigger problem. Is somebody sees that something is not sanuwa, but underneath it is sanuwa, what kind of situation does that exist?
I'm not sure. I mean, that is what the Gemara will say. And this is an example the Gemara gives on the next Amud. It's not very clear, but apparently there was some type of a garment which people wore and which would draw attention. And therefore, by removing this garment, they wore the regular clothes underneath it, and therefore that was a lack of, you know, it was no longer a lack of modesty. But I mean, this clearly could be the idea of how far do you have to go? Most of the Mepharshim disagree with the opinion of the Rambam and say it's not necessary for you to do so. Now, based on this dispute, there are other questions that arise. There's an interesting question that was brought down by the Nadbi Yehuda in the following scenario. And he says it's based on this machlokas, what we just discussed, that there was a scenario where there was a boy that was zana with his mother-in-law. They had an affair, right? And what ended up happening, they ended up doing tshuva. They saw the error of their ways. The shayla was asked, does this boy who just did tshuva, does he have a chiyuv to tell the father-in-law about what happened? Is it necessary to do so? Well, what's the problem? Because the issue is, well, because on one hand, if the father-in-law doesn't know anything about it, he doesn't know. But the reality is, halakhically, he is not allowed to be married to her anymore. So, but if he doesn't know, so he doesn't know, right? So the question is, do we have a chiyuv, or is there a chiyuv to actually inform this man that he is living in sin?
Right.
And they say it's the same question. If you see a person doing an avera, do you have to? Okay, the whole ripping is a question.
A bit much,
do you have to inform that person in the marketplace? Right. By the way, you're wearing shatnez. Do you have to tell that person? Now, according to the Rambam, you have to tell.
There's different implications between the two examples.
Go ahead.
The implication when one is mizana with an isha, it does certain things with her husband. There are implications to the husband.
Okay.
Whereas with shatness, the only implication is on the
individual,
the individual itself. In other words, that act, what she did, has implications on the husband. But with shatness here, there's no implication other than the person who was wearing it.
Except that if other people see this person walking with shatness and no one's told them that you can't be wearing this, then people will be believing that they can wear the same thing then. If they know that it's shatness.
But doesn't that affects the person. It still affects only the person.
Yeah, it's affecting other people.
No, why? What does it affect me if you wear shatness? What does it bother me? I wouldn't care. It's not on me to from the Torah, from the Araisa, to go and take off somebody else's shatnez. It doesn't say that I have to go and take off your shatnez. The Yisr is on you. You shall not wear shatnez. A guy's mizana, this woman, the husband and the Yisr, and everything. There's a third party's involvement.
Yeah, but one is going to be onus and one's going to be amazed. If you don't tell him anything, and he actually does his onus. He's told something, then he thinks,
but there's an effect on him. kid has no effect
on him. But he doesn't know it's not going to hurt.
So the question is, the person is weighing the shot, and if what he doesn't know is not going to hurt him either.
That's right.
But none, so that's the question, whether or not you have to tell him.
Yeah.
So according to the critical reading of our Gemara, that says it's only bebigdo, so you don't have to tell someone else is doing the bear. Even if you know that he's going to maybe want to take it off. Which, again, the question is, the covet of brios, on myself, the way you read the Gemara, not the Rambam, is the covet of brios is myself. So I'm going to make sure to do the mitzvos, and I'm going to forego my honor. But to forego someone else's honor by telling them, that's not something which I should do, or I have to do.
Or you tell them in private.
Right.
You tell them after the fact.
Yeah, that
but
you certainly
you see
know.
With the other case, when the Mazana, is there a definite Isa D'Oraisa? There's a definite
there's
Isa
another,
D'Oraisa.
It is, as is swearing shotness. It's
but
also Isa D'Oraisa.
To who is the Isa D'Oraisa? Not to just the woman. To the husband now.
To the husband and to this man wearing the garment. The shotness. There's an Aver in both situations.
Do any
and you have to inform.
No.
Any of the mafushim go into the issue of how somebody knows that somebody's wearing shatnez? I mean, all right, today we can say you can recognize the clothing and say, look, I saw that in the Haband catalog. It's a mass-produced thing, and I know it's shatnez. In those days, things were handmade, and I doubt that the strands of material had a label on them, each one individually. This is wool. This is wool. This is cotton. How
they had no buckle in the collar.
Maybe it was yours. Maybe it's yours. You know it's shatnez because he took it from you.
It's
not so clear.
Somebody weaved it and it didn't have linings. I mean, our shatnez is
linings.
Look at
the linings
else.
In the collar. That's
right. Right. Yeah, they may have just done a weave, a decorative weave, without knowing, and they did wool, and then they used linen as a decorative trim on it. Yeah. And lo and behold,
and people would be able to recognize that. Without
oh yeah, it's a different kind of texture.
Let's just for the next couple of minutes, then we'll stop. Since we're on this theme, look at the Ramah. So you have the Mechaber, which is in the regular font, and the Ramah, which is a little smaller, where it says Hagah. It's in the center over here on this new page. That okay. So he says like this. This is the laws of this is Tumah Tahara. Okay, so based on what we're talking about, listen to the following case. Kohen Sheshochev Arum. So you have a Kohen, and he's sound asleep, and he's not wearing any clothes. Behu Ohel Im Hames. And he happens to be sitting in a room, and it's some, unfortunately, a mace. Either a person died, or whatever. Behu Yoda, and the guy just doesn't know. He doesn't know. And he's a Kohen, obviously, we're talking about here, as it says. And he's not allowed to become Tamei if he's in the same Ohel, he should leave. So the question is like this. I see the guy, I don't know how this happened, but he has no clothes on. So if I tell him, but he's alone in this room, so no one's gonna, cares, no one knows. But other than this one little room, there's one door and it leads to the street. So do I have to tell this guy, wake him up, and say, by the way, there's a mace in this room, and you better leave, because you're not allowed to be in this room because it's a maze. So the Ramah says, Ein lahagid lo, you do not have to tell him, El yikru lo stam shiyatza kadei shiyalvish atzmo tachivilo. So he says, you do not, Ein lahagid lo, you do not have to tell him.
But that's a totally different situation. Do you know why it's different? Because the minute this person died, the Kohen was tamei already. Mm. So by telling him, get out fast, he's still tamei. It's not going to change anything. The tumah already was there. His condition has been altered prior to anything else. So what's his rush to get out of there?
Well, the question is there a time factor that causes immediate?
You're tamei or tamei, period.
That's a good question. Well, let's finish this Ramah. That may be a very good reason why you don't have to tell him. He says, what you should do is yikru lo stam. Apparently, he's supposed to run out immediately. And he doesn't shouldn't even have time to get dressed. He said, you should just tell him, just wake, get him up, shiat, and tell him it's time for you to leave, but don't tell him why. K'nei shial v'shat smatchila, so he'll say, all right, it's time for me to wake up, we'll get dressed and we'll leave. Abel im kvar hegilo, osu l'hamtin ad shial v'shatzmo. What is this? He says, if kvar hegidula, if you already told him...
It's not time, so he can't get dressed.
Then he's not allowed to wait. Ad shial v'shatzmo, he's not allowed to get dressed. If you told him that there's a mace in the room of Adafi, he says that it's imhu, ba'ol hamesh shehu tuma d'raisa. That's only when it comes to d'raisa. This is, again, the distinction which the Gemara is going to make. Abel imhu b'beis apras, o eretz ho'amim, she tumah the rabbanon. These are different cases the Gemara is going to talk about, which the tumah is a rabbinic level of tumah. Yal v'shatz betchila the gadol kavod habrios. So you see that when it comes to the rabbanon, we are going
we're
to say
more machmir, mekel.
Right, we're more mekel.
But he's still going to be in tumah.
Yeah,
he's tummy.
Yeah.
So that's probably the idea. But even if you're tummy, the kohen still doesn't have the right to remain in a room. But you're right, that would be a chiluk, at least.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I
mean, if you're tummy, it doesn't mean, okay, so now we can just hang out with a mace all day.
No, I'm not going to hang out, but you don't say get out.
What's the rush? There's no more rush anymore.
Once you're tummy, you're tummy. Might as well get dressed.
Might as well get dressed.
I hear that. So that.
I think that's the differentiation.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, so let's celebrate this.